She ran a good race. She moved issues, particularly on women's rights, that she cares a lot about. So I don't think the race was for naught.
Community policing is something that is continuous. You're never finished.
Hi again, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. On this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand drops out of the race for the White House. Albany city leaders react to a report showing widespread mistrust between residents and law enforcement. And we head behind the scenes of a North Country quarry. Struggling to fundraise and lagging in the polls, New York U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand suspended her 2020 presidential campaign on Wednesday. WAMC's Southern Adirondack Bureau Chief Lucas Willard has reaction from the state's political leaders.
Senator Gillibrand announced herself as a Democratic presidential hopeful to a national audience in January on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. The next day, New York's junior senator took her message to a diner in Brunswick near her home in Rensselaer County.
I'm going to run for president of the United States because as a young mom, I will fight for your children as hard as I would fight for my own.
The 52-year-old Gillibrand joined the field of 2020 hopefuls seeking to take down President Donald Trump just a few months after she was elected to a new six-year term. She would spend the next 8 months trekking to early primary states like Iowa and New Hampshire. She closed her run Wednesday with a campaign video as it became clear she would be left out of the next debates.
I know this isn't the result we wanted. We wanted to win this race, but it's important to know when it's not your time and to know how you can best serve your community and country. I believe I can best serve by helping to unite us to beat Donald Trump in 2020.
From the start of her campaign, Gillibrand attacked Trump as a divider, a person who seeks to tear the country apart along racial and political lines. Trump appeared to mock Gillibrand on Twitter following her exit, saying, quote, "A sad day for Democrats. Kirsten Gillibrand has dropped out of the presidential primary. I'm glad they never found out that she was the one I was really afraid of," end quote. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, a fellow Democrat, commented on Gillibrand's exit in a statement Wednesday night. He said, quote, "Senator Gillibrand is a great talent, a rising star in the Democratic Party, and a good friend. The people of New York are fortunate to have her back full time," end quote. Speaking Thursday morning with WAMC's Alan Chartok, Cuomo, who said he was fond of Gillibrand personally, denied having any ill will for the senator after saying she no longer has to walk around the cornfields of Iowa.
There's nothing backhanded here. She was running for president. She is now not running for president, so her sole focus will be representing the people of the state of New York.
Gillibrand's Senate colleague, Minority Leader Charles Schumer, also weighed in Thursday. Speaking to reporters in Morrisonville near Plattsburgh, Schumer said he was glad he and Gillibrand will continue to work together.
We are a good team and we work hard for New York, including New York agriculture. She ran a good race. She moved issues, particularly on women's rights, that she cares a lot about. So I don't think the race was for naught.
In a statement that also took aim at fellow New Yorker and presidential candidate New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, New York Republican Party Chair Nick Langworthy attacked Gillibrand, saying she, quote, "has been using her U.S. Senate office to chase her national ambitions for the last 4 years while doing nothing for the New Yorkers who pay her salary. It's no surprise that voters, even in her home state, rejected her for her lackluster record," end quote. For past stories on Gillibrand's run for the presidency, visit WAMC.org. For WAMC News, I'm Southern Adirondack Bureau Chief Lucas Willard.
In mid-August, the Center for Law and Justice published a 41-page report based on a survey of 250-some Albany residents regarding public safety, law enforcement, and community police relations. Center Executive Director Alice Green has resolved to make the survey a living document. WAMC's Capital Region Bureau Chief Dave Lucas reports.
Pathway to Reformative Change, Public Safety, Law Enforcement, and the Albany Community raised several concerns. Its major findings: the community is very mistrustful of the Albany Police Department and the Albany County District Attorney.
The purpose of the survey, first of all, was to give people in the community an avenue for expressing some of the concerns that they had about public safety, law enforcement, and the relationship between the community and the police. It was never designed to be a scientific survey, and we make that point in our report. But it was important to listen to people, and even though we came up with some findings that I'm sure many people were aware of, and that is that there's a great distrust between the Albany Police Department and the community and the DA's office in the community. But the important thing was that we heard from people and we had a number of recommendations. We've been trying to get a better sense of how people are responding to that survey.
Although Green invited the mayor, police chief, and DA to a press briefing the day the report came out, they didn't show up, and neither did their representatives. Follow-up letters were sent to Albany Mayor Kathy Sheehan, Chief Eric Hawkins, and DA David Soares.
We did not get any response from the mayor or the district attorney, but I did talk briefly to the police chief, who thought the survey was great and that it could be really helpful as he goes about making any changes in the department. So we were happy to hear that, and he also expressed interest in improving the communication between not only our office, but the community at large.
Green says the center received several responses over social media. Chief Hawkins told WAMC he never got an invite to the presser, giving weight to Green's assertion that lines of communication have been strained between the center and local officials. Since then, Green and Hawkins have reopened those lines. The DA's office has not responded to a request for comment. Both the mayor and the chief have since reviewed the report.
I looked at the report and, you know, certainly there were, as the report indicates, community policing is something that is continuous. You're never finished. Creating trust within the community is something that is continuous and you're never finished. And it really highlights that there can be, you know, one incident that erodes trust, and so it constantly needs to be rebuilt. And so I think we have the right police chief at the right time doing a lot of the right things to ensure that we are working to create a relationship of trust between the police and the broader community.
I think one thing that could have been better, I guess, is that it could have captured some of the other sentiments from people in the community. And while there are some who distrust the police and have dissatisfaction with certain aspects of police work, not just in Albany but across the country, there are many, many, many others who really are satisfied, who really have a respect for the police, who want to work with the police officers in the community.
As Green moves toward her goal of making the report a living document, she embraces the idea of getting feedback from more people, and she hopes the report will move the Albany Common Council to take action of some kind as the center develops a process for monitoring and tracking the report's recommendations.
So in a year, we should be able to issue our report card, that we call it, that looks at what we've managed to do in this community and where we need to go beyond that.
The report's recommendations include requiring more transparency and clarification of policies from police and the DA, including allowing the public to view use of force records, along with the need to find ways that law enforcement agencies and the criminal justice system may identify and address the presence of systemic racism. There's more at WAMC.org. Dave Lucas, WAMC News.
All right, this next one's pretty fun. The public had an opportunity recently to tour a local business that mines stone material. Upstone Materials showcased its operations and how it processes the limestone it extracts from its site in Plattsburgh. And WAMC's North Country Bureau Chief Pat Bradley was there.
The 60-acre quarry in Plattsburgh doesn't just mine the limestone that's blasted and dug from a pit at the site. It also processes the material, providing crushed stone, cement, and gravel to construction crews and homeowners across the region. Upstone Materials, the quarry's current owner, bought the assets from Greymount Materials in May 2017. The previous owner held open houses regularly, but this is the first time Upstone has invited the public to view its operations. Area manager Doug Henry explained what they do.
The simple answer is we turn big rocks into little rocks. We blast and excavate material out of the ground, limestone here in Plattsburgh, and then we process it into different size stone products for people to buy, or we also incorporate those into our ready-mix concrete and our hot-mix asphalt products.
We've got a walking tour right here, all right.
Hi, my name's Greg Pupor. I'm the safety coordinator for Upstone. All right, we'll start our walking tour.
Pupor stood on blocks of stone to describe the types of stone the quarry produces.
So we're kind of starting at the opposite end. This is some of our finished product. This is some number two crushed stone. We have limestone here. This is some of the decorative stone that we have. So you'll see some red sandstone. That comes from our quarry in Potsdam. So our Potsdam quarry is famous for red sandstone.
A constant stream of dump trucks, haulers, and cement trucks pass by as the group makes its way up the first hill to cement processing.
So this is a soap rack. Before the trucks go in and get loaded with asphalt, they go underneath this and it puts soap in the back of the dump trucks so that all the asphalt doesn't stick into it. So when they back up to the paver, it slides right out. This is the entrance where all the trucks come in before they get loaded and go to our asphalt plants. Next, we're gonna visit the ready-mix concrete facility. So cement is a dry powder dust that's stored up in that big silo. We have a truck that's being loaded with concrete right now. So all the components, the sand and the stone gets put in those bins. It runs up the long belt, it goes in these hoppers, it gets weighed up, and then it gets dumped back in the back of the barrel of the truck, and then the cement gets dropped in along with the water, and it spins and it all mixes up, and that's how concrete is made.
Further up the hill, a truck dumps a load of boulders to be crushed.
You'll hear an alarm sound. When that alarm sounds, he will dump his load into the hopper.
From there, all of the tour groups converge at an overlook to see the quarry's most dynamic extraction. Many of the adults were curious about the operations. Others, like Shirley Carter, wanted to see why their neighboring houses shake periodically.
Well, I live just over there, and I wanted to know what went on over here.
But it's like an earthquake, kind of like a little earthquake.
Upstone Materials facilities in Lewis, Saranac Lake, and Malone produce granite products. The company also has sand and gravel pits throughout the region. The Plattsburgh facility processes between 400,000 and 500,000 tons of limestone material annually. I'm Pat Bradley, WAMC News.
Well, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Remember to stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.